God, let me hold to your hand. Praise God, he will do it. Will you turn with me to Mark chapter number 9? Gospel of Mark chapter number 9. And while you're turning there, let me say once more what a privilege and honor it is for us to be here. We're not in any hurry tonight. Now, once we say amen, I might get in a hurry, but I'm not in a hurry now. I want the Lord to have his way. We're going to load up and most likely leave tonight. There's a slim possibility I'll wait a few hours so I can do part of the drive in the daylight, but I'd like to get there. Odie wants to get home and sleep in her bed a few hours. And I'm going to sleep in my bed either way, by the grace of God. Yeah, she's going to enjoy her house for a little bit. Maybe. We might be able to get some Kelly to go get us some salsa from our favorite Mexican restaurant. Drink a little salsa while we're home. That'd be awesome. But I want the Lord to help us first right here. Can you say amen? Mark chapter number 9. I just want to read about four verses to begin here, starting with verse number 21. And he, this is Jesus speaking, asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Okay, gotcha. Fat fingers. I got smartphones, smart tablets, and dumb fingers. I want to preach to you from this passage, the Lord being my helper, on the power of less than perfect faith. The power of imperfect faith. Would you stretch your hands toward heaven and ask the Lord to touch us here in this place? Would you just sincerely call out to the Lord? Father, captivate our hearts and minds here for a few moments. Drive out every hindering spirit, that wicked fowl of the air that would steal your word from us before it has a chance to take root and grow. Bind him in Jesus' name. Let faith rise up in the heart of every hearer, that we might receive your word, that we might believe your word, and that we might respond to your word. In Jesus' name we ask it. And everyone can say, amen, amen. The power of less than perfect faith. Now I'm addressing this subject because it is a common feeling expressed in services everywhere I go. I'd love to have more faith. Pray for me that I'll be able to believe God for this. Pray for me that my faith will be strong. In conversations, in testimonies, it seems it's a very common thing for us to feel like our faith is not everything it should be. Now, there is a positive there, and that is this. We do know that genuine faith in God works. We believe that, don't we? We believe that if we can believe God, all things are possible. We believe that. We believe that God hears and answers prayer. But oftentimes we find fault not in God, but in the strength or the amount of our faith. We feel like it's not everything maybe that it should be. I want to focus on this father's response here in verse number 24. He came to Christ with a very desperate need. The devil is trying to destroy his son. That is what the devil is still doing in 2020. He's trying to destroy our children. He's trying to destroy our marriages. He's trying to destroy our churches. He's trying to destroy our nation. He's trying to destroy any unity or harmony we might could have. He is a destroyer. He'd love to destroy your family. You say, well, he's not getting into my family, but that's not going to stop him from trying. He loves to destroy. That's a very serious need, right? He's trying to destroy my son. This father and son are in a very dangerous predicament. The devil seems to have the upper hand. He is toying with this man's son as a cat does a mouse before it destroys the mouse. The father is helpless to do anything about it. He has done everything he knows. He is desperate and he cries out. He brings his son to Christ and he cries out with a passionate prayer, Lord, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Man, what a passionate prayer. And the Lord says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. And immediately daddy says, I believe. The Bible said straightway with tears. So there's an immediacy to this. It demonstrates his willingness to respond. He's immediate, straightway. He cries out. That's kind of passionate, the picture of passion. And then with tears, his emotions are involved in this. Lord, I believe. That's the first step in gaining anything from God, is professing our faith. Lord, I believe you can do it. Saints of God, I want to say it again. We believe that faith in God works, right? No doubt in the 100+ years this church has been in existence, there's been people that came in with cancer and God responded to faith and they left cancer free. Yes. There's been people delivered from all manner of sin at these altars because people believed God. God has put food on your table. God has put clothes on your back. God has put peace in your mind as a result of faith. Now, I've probably said this here before, and I'll probably say it again. I feel very privileged to have been raised in the environment that I was raised in. My mother was saved when I was 3 years old. And she just got good and saved and started going to church. And she went to church. She trained me right. She kind of trained me for evangelism. She went every night somewhere. And she wasn't doing the preaching. She wasn't getting an offering. She was just getting help from God. And she took us kids to church. And I have fond memories of church. And I have fond memories of people. This is in the 1970s. And I know for you young people, you know, that's a long, long time ago. That's 50 years ago, the beginning of the 1970s. Come to think of it, it kind of was a long, long time ago. But people in those churches, our home, my home church where I was raised, other churches, they would testify about how God brought them through the depression, the 1930s. And the 1930s were closer to us then than the 70s are to us now. Pretty soon I'm going to have to start saying the other 30s. The last 30s, not these 30s, just 10 more years. And God, testify how that they didn't have food and they didn't have jobs and how God fed their families. How God just miraculously supplied for them. How God put gas in their automobiles later. And in the war years when they couldn't get tires, how God kept tires running and how they patched them with all sorts of things. And they held air and went to church and preached revivals. And they testify these things. And I'm a little boy sitting on the edge of my seat taking it all in. We had a preacher that would come and preach, and I heard him tell it probably several times about how he was working a job and farming and preaching. And his wife told him, said, now the cow is sick. It's the only milk cow they had. And they didn't have Kroger's and Walmart and convenience stores to go buy milk. I wonder how many places within a mile right here you can go buy milk. They didn't have that. The cow died. They didn't have any milk. And he was just too busy to tend to that cow. And she finally said, just forget it. He walked by that cow and it was all swolled up. As they say, y'all got that word, don't you? Swolled up. Is that too Jackson County for you there? You ain't so far from Jackson County. Don't forget where you came from now here, okay? All swolled up. And he laid hands on that cow and prayed for that cow. Well, that's crazy. Well, it's crazy if you got other options. But if you don't have any other option but God, prayer for the craziest thing in the world is not crazy. He believed God. And the next day that cow was on its feet giving milk as an answer to prayer. Oh, I wish I could preach to you here. I grew up hearing these things. Now I remember hearing Brother Savage tell about when his dad was pioneering churches and they got down to no food in the house at all. And he told Sister Savage to set the table and wash the kids up and put the kids around the table. They bowed their head and said grace over empty plates, empty stove, and empty table. And while they were praying, it was a big commotion on the outside. Great big thumps on the kitchen wall. After prayer, they jumped up and ran outside, and a whole covey of quail had committed suicide into the side of the Savage household, and they had meat to eat for supper. Oh, all y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. No, I'm not crazy. I just believe God. Those people would testify, and others would stand and say, yeah, I was there, I saw it. How God got them up at 3 a.m. to go pray for brother so-and-so. And on their way there at the crossroads, they met another church guy. What are you doing out at 3 a.m? God spoke to me and said, go to... Well, God spoke to me and said the same thing. And they shouted their way into that house and found them on their deathbed and prayed them well. Hallelujah. And often the story ended up with somebody fixing breakfast. Nothing like a good healing and biscuits and gravy. We don't hear about it anymore. Well, we got all these other options. But God is still available. I said, God is still available. Oh, I'm not preaching to people that don't know what I'm talking about. I'm preaching to Pentecostal people with a heritage of faith and answered prayers. Oh, look back in your mind, saints of God. Remember some of the testimonies you've heard in your family. You've heard in this pulpit. You've heard from these pews. God hears and answers prayer. We don't have faith in a man. We don't have faith in a method. We have faith in the Master. We don't have faith in a creed. We don't have faith in a cathedral. We have faith in Christ. We don't have faith in a gimmick. We don't have faith in a group. We have faith in God. When God responds to faith, miracles happen. Lord, I
believe. Huh? Why don't we just lift our hands and profess our faith right here? Come on. Lift your need up before God. I believe. God, I believe. I believe you can heal my mama. I believe you can heal my daddy. I believe you can heal my baby. I believe you can heal my wife, my husband. I believe, Lord, that you can provide when there is no provision. I believe you can protect when there is no protection. Saints of God, come on and profess your faith. Lord, I believe. And oh, Sister Jarvis, if that was all of it, we have confidence that our prayer would be answered. But we find ourselves just like this daddy. After we profess our faith, we feel like we got to be honest with God, and you do. No sense talking to a God that knows everything without being transparent, huh? You're not gonna get nowhere. Lord, I believe. Professing our faith, and then this father immediately follows up with, "Lord, help thou my unbelief." That's that nagging feeling that my faith is not perfect. Does anybody understand what I'm preaching about? Huh? Oh, I wish I didn't know this, but I do. So often, my passionate prayer, even when I'm saturated by the Holy Ghost in prayer, which is not every time, but sometimes it is. Even when I'm saturated, I've got to let the rest of that out. Lord, I believe, but oh, help thou my unbelief. That little nagging corner of my heart that has just a morsel of unbelief. And I'm not talking about wicked doubt. You know, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. That's not what we're saying. When you confess your doubt, you're not saying you have wicked unbelief. Listen, sometimes people that have atheistic tendencies or thoughts or agnostic thoughts, sometimes they'll come to church, and we want them to. But if you've been here and you've been going to church and you've been living for God and you've been praying to God, you don't have that kind of doubt. I'm not talking about wicked doubt. I don't doubt your existence, God. I don't doubt your power, God. There is no wicked doubt in us. The doubt that I have in my heart at times is doubt about me, not God. Lord, I believe, but I find myself wondering, am I in a position to receive it? Sinful doubt will say God cannot do it. God is not able. God does not care. But we're not seeing that in this scripture. That's not what we're experiencing in our lives. It's a natural hesitancy to wonder, will God do it for me? I hope I can explain this to you. I'm just gonna talk a little bit. Man, I remember when I was such a sinner. I'm not sure God will help me. I had a real angry thought last Friday. I don't know if God will help me.
what I said to my wife the other day. It wasn't really full of love and compassion like it should have been. I don't know if God will help. Y'all with me here? It's a nagging doubt that we're not coming up to the standard. Now, we know some people that came up to the standard, right? Grandma, grandpa, and aunt so-and-so, and brother so-and-so. Boy, we believed in their prayer, right? But we don't see ourselves as good as them. And we may not, in some senses, be as good as them. They may not hear you praying 5 miles down the holler like they did grandpa. Huh? Y'all with me here? You may not be fasting 21 days at a time like brother so-and-so did. So maybe in that sense, you're not as good, but that doesn't kill your faith. You see, we don't earn God's favor. Here's what I've often thought when I've had to pray that prayer. Lord, I believe. I'm professing my faith, but I got to confess my doubt. Lord, help thou my unbelief. Most of the time I'm like, tomorrow I'm going to do better. I'm going to eliminate that part of my prayer. I'm going to be a little farther along. And if I'm not careful, I almost become like a Catholic priest climbing the steps on my knees, those steps littered with glass, cutting myself to earn God's favor. That's not right. Right? That's not correct. And you can't earn it either. You can't be good enough for God to hear you. Man, I've heard all my life, I want to live good enough that God hears my prayer. I understand the concept, but I disagree with the doctrine. You can't earn God's favor. Just profess your faith and confess your doubt. Now, I'm not giving you excuse for sin. No. But we're doing the best we can. And we're keeping our sins under the blood. And we're praying. Just profess your faith and confess your doubt. And let the Lord work all of the rest of it out. Let God make the decision whether that prayer was good enough or not. Lord, I believe. There it is again, that nagging doubt. Help thou my unbelief. And I turn and I go home. I didn't even give God a chance to respond to my faith that was professed. Happened here? This man said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Now, here's the way that works for me. A service like last night, when the Holy Ghost is fallen and I see him on my daughter, I see the Holy Ghost on my daughter sitting in her wheelchair, and man, faith is high. But that night, if I walk through the bus and I hear her groaning because her muscles are tight and she has to straighten that leg out again, then it's, oh God, help thou my unbelief. Y'all follow that? In church, it's, I believe, when the fever goes back up at 3 a.m, Lord, help thou my unbelief. Sunday night, Lord, I believe. Monday, when I'm balancing the books, Lord, help thou my unbelief. It's cycle of human nature. But this man said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And Jesus said, bring him to me. Bring that boy to me. Jesus rebuked the foul spirit. Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried out and rent him sore. door and came out of him, and he fell down like he was dead, insomuch that people around him said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. He was healed. He was delivered. That boy and that daddy went home healed and went home whole, even though he had to confess his doubt. What I want you to see is confessing our doubt does not disqualify our prayer. In some instances, it qualifies our prayer. Because here is the power of imperfect faith. Faith in you, faith in me, that we feel like is less than perfect. Here's the power in that. Where is that imperfect faith placed? Who is that imperfect faith directed toward? It's directed toward a perfect Savior. So when I come to Him with my imperfect faith, remember, I am talking to a perfect God. There is no imperfection in Him. I said there is no imperfection in Him at all. This boy was healed and the family was made whole. Not because daddy's faith was perfect. Not because that boy's faith was perfect. But because Christ is perfect. Oh, I come to preach to somebody. Don't give up, even though you feel like your faith is imperfect. You feel like your faith is not strong. I came to encourage somebody tonight. Keep calling on a perfect Savior. Man, I know I told you Sunday morning I wouldn't get out there and run around and spit on you, but I sure do want to run around right now. Praise God. I want to run right down that center aisle. I want to tell you here tonight that God is perfect. Your faith may not be perfect, but Christ is perfect. He hears and answers prayer and loves to do it. I said He loves to do it. The power of imperfect faith is that we are directing it toward a perfect Savior. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. If thou canst do anything, that doesn't sound like a power-packed, faith-packed prayer, does it? If thou canst do anything. But it was directed toward a perfect Savior, a perfect healer. Many years ago, young lady came into church. She had no church background. She was working in another state away from her home. She was in financial distress. She was in emotional distress. She was up against it. She was considering, she was planning to end it all. But there was a girl that worked in her department at work who went to a church. That girl wasn't real faithful, but she followed that girl to church. And then she came to the altar with the plans made to finish everything in the next 2 or 3 days. And here's what she prayed. Lord, if you are real, make yourself real to me. That's not a power-packed, faith-packed prayer, is it? If talk to me here. I'm not trapping you. There's not much faith in that. Make yourself real to me. Do you want to know what God did for her? He saved her. He saved her that night. I mean, she's one of them people that got up from that altar radically saved. Her mind was made up that very moment. I'm going to live for God and live for God. She did. Hallelujah. Oh, come to preach to somebody. You feel like your faith is weak and you beat yourself up over it. But don't do it anymore. Lift that imperfect faith to God. He'll save you. He'll heal you. He'll give you miracles because that's what God loves to do. If you can believe it, God can do it. Profess your faith. Confess your doubt and let the Lord work it out. What do you need from God tonight? Would you stand with me if you're physically able? What do you need from God? I'm going to step out on a limb here. I'm not going to ask you what it is, but I want you to acknowledge it. Does anybody need a miracle? I'm going to look this way. Anybody need a miracle? Anybody? Thank you. Anybody over here need a miracle? Raise your hand up. How about over here? Anybody need a miracle? Any kind of miracle, huh? Over here? That's a bunch of them right there. That's a bunch of miracles. I believe God can give us notable, bona fide miracles in this place. Brother Shabanke from Nigeria called me this week. He generally calls me about once a week. He said, I don't know if he's ever been here, but he said to tell everybody where you are, hello. I want to tell you, if Brother Shabanke was here, I'd turn him loose praying for you. Coronavirus, beware. Try to put a mask on him if I could, but he's going to pray for you. And he's going to tell you to believe God, believe God, believe God, believe God, believe God. Anybody been in service for Brother Shabanke? I ain't never seen anybody pray like him. He's 76 years old. I promise you, if he's feeling good, he could go at it for an hour right here. You better be ready to be prayed for. And he would say, God is going to give you a miracle tonight. Oh, hallelujah. I believe God is able to do bona fide, notable miracles for you and for you and for you and for you. I believe that God is able, even though my faith and your faith seems weak, we're asking a God to do it who is not weak. Won't you bring your knees to this altar if you feel comfortable doing that? If you don't, stand right there where you are and lift those hands toward heaven. But come on, if you're able, if you feel like you can, bring that need before God and let's believe God for a miracle. Hallelujah. Family members, reach over and pray for other family members. Lay your hands on them. Believe God for a miracle. You need to be saved. God will save you. I said, God will save you. Come on, sir. God will save you. Come on, ma'am. God will save you. God will heal you. God will break your chains. God will deliver you in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. Only, Lord, I believe in God.